you've come to me. Now, before we go any further, and I knew that Ryan was going to do the welcome time because I asked him to do it several weeks ago. In fact, early on, back last year when we first started doing this, Ryan made it very clear that he wanted to come this Sunday. I kind of knew what it was about, but I had no real plan today. And certainly, as many of you know, the sermon development that I do, we're weeks out. So this is just God. And I'm the first to admit this today, because what Ryan testified today is the exact message that God gives us in our passage this morning. And I want you to know this. It may not be that you have alcoholism, but you may have anxiety. You have fear. You have burdens at your job. You have a broken marriage. You have problems with finding your worth in this life and your place and your purpose. You may have relationship issues that are going on in your family or maybe outside of your family. Maybe there's medical issues that you're dealing with. Listen, what God tells us is this, that we can bring all of those things to Him. And the title of the message this morning says it all, come to me. And that's exactly the declaration that Jesus gives. Now, let me give a little background. I'll pray and then we'll read through this. And I'm going to try not to spend a lot of time in the reading of this passage, but spend more time in breaking this invitation that Jesus gives us. Now, let me also say this. The Bible is full of invitations. And clearly the invitations are always meant for a response from us. God lays the invitation out, and in this case, Jesus does, but it is our opportunity, our burden, our responsibilities, you might say, to now answer the call to that invitation. And so when we look at this, Jesus is teaching to the crowds. He has just in verse 27 made one of the strongest declarations of who He is, and that is the Son of God, the second part of the Trinity. And then in verse 28, He now begins to kind of lay out what we're going to look at today. Now, I'll be honest with you. I think oftentimes, and I've preached on this passage before, and I've looked at it from more the 30,000-foot range of the invitation that God has for us to come into salvation. And I think that's worth noting and spending time in, but this morning I want to drill further down into that. What exactly is He inviting us to? What are the burdens that we bring? What are the weary things that now plague our lives that God is calling us? Whether you're a believer right now or not, the same invitation is in place for both of us. The lost person certainly understands this. Those things that are the distractions that are keeping them from surrendering and accepting and trusting who Jesus is, those things certainly, they have to lay those things down. For us as believers, though, while we might have done that at one moment in our life, we often pick up bags full of weights and we're carrying things around that we were never meant to carry around. And those now become burdens that now become issues. They complicate. They become distractions in our walk with the Lord. Let's pray, and then we'll read this passage together. Father, thank You this morning for where You have us right now and just the reminder of Your power of transformation. And the fact that while we may not have a testimony, as Ryan alluded to, with his dramatic change, I don't know in my life I've ever had such a dramatic change, but nevertheless, the power of God has changed me and is continuing to change me. I like the word transformation because that seems to kind of bring about all different kinds of change that takes place. God, we are all in desperate need of change and transformation. We're all in desperate need of being able to answer this invitation, whether we're a believer or not, and being able to bring these things that weigh us down right now and lay them at Your altar and trust them with You truly and learn, as this passage tells us, to rest in You. God, I pray for every believer this morning, help us with clarity to know exactly what that means in our lives. The things that we're struggling with, the things that we're carrying around, the distractions that the enemy has put at our doorstep that are doing the thing that he intended them to do. Keep us from being focused on You. God, I pray for the lost person this morning that they would hear one clear invitation, and that is to surrender and accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. It is not the church. It is not a person in the church. It's not a religion. It's not even a pastor that has the power to change somebody, and certainly doesn't have the power to save anyone. Only Jesus does that. So I pray with the same clarity that you would lay on the heart of the believer, that you would lay that clarity as well on the lost person this morning to see clearly this invitation and what Jesus is capable of doing for them. And He's the only one. Now God, I pray that you would help us with great discernment this morning, with open eyes and a heart filled with your presence, to be able to read your word together and then look through this passage. I pray all of these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. We catch this kind of at the end of this sermon, if you will. And it starts in verse 28. This is where we are, Matthew 11, starting in verse 28. And he says this, Then Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens." Let me pause there for a moment, because we don't use the word weary anymore. The Greek word here literally means to work to exhaustion. Now you may think right now, I don't work with my hands in my job. I'm not doing manual labor. That's not what that means. What that means is the burdens that you're carrying have exhausted you. They have weighed you down so much that you are to the state of at the end of your rope. You're at the bottom of your ladder. There are no other places for you to cling on to. And then he goes on to talk about this idea of the heavy burdens. All burdens are heavy. And what I love about what Jesus says here is that he's not saying those who have those. He assumes we all have them to some degree. He goes on with this and he says, "And I will give you rest." Now, if we don't hear anything else this morning, I want to make sure that before we leave here in a few minutes, that we fully grasp and understand what is meant by that word rest. And what Jesus is claiming here. And also what he's not claiming. Because I think there are times that we get that idea confused, and it is essential we understand what he means by rest. We'll go on. We'll come back to explain that a little bit later. Verse 29, "Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls." He now, at the end of this, now begins to kind of qualify for us what he means by rest. And it's a soul-type rest. It's a rest spiritually that we feel. Now, the idea of yoke, many of you know this, but this would have been the wooden sort of bridle that went across the backs of the oxen as they were working. And so we've carried our own, and now what's being claimed is Jesus is telling us to take his yoke, to follow him, to be his servant. And then this next statement, we're not going to get into this part. I think it's assumed, and it may be another sermon for another day. But I love the statement and the phrase, and while it's not a key for us this morning, it is certainly worth you spending time praying about, meditating on, and asking the question, what does this mean in my life? Let me teach you. That's what Jesus says. Now the idea here is we've got to allow those teachings to seep into our lives and begin to change us. It's not something that we just get pumped in with a syringe. It's not something that we just get because we've eaten it. We get it because we've accepted it. And hence lies the problem. Because many of us have made the choice to follow his teachings, to let him teach us, but we're not doing that in every area of our life. Or maybe in the lesson that God is trying to teach you through the heavy burden and the weariness that you're carrying right now. I believe this. In every one of those moments, God is always trying to teach us something. And we got to be in tune to that. Then he goes on and he says this in verse 30. Again, to kind of qualify what he meant by this. "For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." You know what he's saying? Let go and let me. I mean, that's a cliche way to say that. I'll say it this way sometimes. Let God be God. Not just in what you do at church or in the bigger issues in your life. Let God be God in all of the things in your life. Let go and let him. His burden is much easier to carry, because what we're having to focus on there is just focus on him and be obedient and let him take care of all of the weariness that has been created in our life and all of the heavy burdens. So here are three things that are part of this invitation. I want you to write these down because I think they're that important. It may not be for you, but it may be this week you're going to encounter somebody who needs to understand this. And God's going to lead you to this passage. And real quickly, you can kind of lay out what he means by this. Maybe it's someone who needs to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Maybe it's another believer who is struggling under the heavy burden of the things that they're trying to carry on their own that God never intended for them to carry. The first part of this invitation is pretty simple, but who Jesus invites? Well, he invites us. We're all weary. We're all heavy burdened. Every single one of us. Now, I've given you some explanation of what we mean by weary and heavy burden. Let me go through that a little bit different. It includes sin for the lost person, for the believer. It includes guilt. We've already mentioned fear. It includes, listen to this, we didn't mention this one a moment, and I want to spend a moment on this one, and that is spiritual exhaustion. What do we mean by that? When we're trying to carry the weight of our salvation on our own. When we're trying to prove ourselves to somebody. When we're trying to hit a mark and be something on our own power rather than resting in what God has for us. I use this illustration. It's Paul's illustrations. I think I might have even mentioned it last week in our sermon in Acts about the church. It applies here. You may be an arm or a foot in the metaphor of the body of the church. You know that. We talk about this. We all have a function. Not all of us can be an eye and not all of us can be a foot. But God's called you to be what you are and you're to do that to the glory of God. And learning to allow that to now begin to be the focus of what God is trying to use and do in your life. I believe that God gives us gifts and talents. Spiritual gifts is what we call those. And when we start trying to deviate from what God has given us, we now start carrying that spiritual burden ourselves. The other part of this, and we mentioned it a moment ago, but I think it needs to be explained, is the spiritual burden also sometimes includes guilt or unworthiness. Listen, I'm right there on that one. Okay, and I don't know that you'll ever be feeling worthy of anything that God may call you to do. But what you learn is that all you've got to do is be obedient and do what God tells you to do. And then all of that burden gets lifted because it's his responsibility if he's put you in the wrong place. Which he doesn't. He always equips us. He always gives us what we need. But there's always that sense of unworthiness. The guilt sometimes gets wrapped in because of sin in our past, and we want to disqualify ourselves, but yet God has qualified us through what Jesus did on the cross. And we don't have to carry that burden anymore. We don't have to prove ourselves to anyone. We just need to rest in what God has given us and let him carry those burdens. Listen, this invitation has, to some extent, a universal scope. Meaning it applies differently in your life than it may be in my life. When I use the analogy in my discussions with people about buckets, we all carry buckets around. I've said suitcases at times, and buckets works for me. That's my new one, by the way. But we're carrying around buckets full of things that we were never meant to carry. That's responsibilities and burdens and guilt and fear and anxieties. When we truly learn to rest in Jesus, we give those things to him. They don't disappear. They don't just magically go away. But the burden of them is lifted because now God says he's carrying those burdens. The guilt. If you've accepted Christ and you've confessed those sins as a believer and trust that God is capable of forgiving you, then you can release the guilt of that. But the problem is the enemy doesn't want you to do that because he wants you to be loaded down with all of these weighted buckets that now becomes distractions and keeps you from being what God wants you to be. Because the buckets become a constant reminder of how much of a failure you are. How much in desperate need you are of change. And when we're giving those buckets to God to take, now we're free of that burden, and really our only responsibility is to be obedient to him. Man, it's a part of the spiritual warfare that we face today in our daily lives. And we've become so immune to it, we don't even realize it anymore. And it's a victory the enemy gets because we're not understanding that God wants to take these things. Listen, I'm going to be very strong when I say this. There is not a burden or a cause of your weariness that God is not capable of overseeing. Amen? I mean, do you believe that? Don't just say that here. But tomorrow or this afternoon when you walk out of here, and maybe some of you do a great job at this, you leave your buckets at the door, you come in as something different, and then when you leave, you pick those buckets back up. If you truly believe He is capable, then you got to give those to Him and allow Him to free you of that and trust Him with those things. I think that's sometimes my struggle. It's not that I don't think God is sovereign and powerful enough, but I just sometimes get afraid of what will happen when He takes over. That's just the simple truth. I may not like it. It may make me feel uncomfortable. It may make me do something that I'm not prepared to do. And by the way, I've had several of these in my life where at that moment, like, well, I'm almost in a tug of war with God. I know He's capable. I know He needs that. But I want to hold on to it because in some sense, I'm afraid of what's on the horizon when I give it over to Him. Every single time. Okay? And one of those, by the way, and I'll just be very honest with you, was many years ago coming to this church as your pastor. Not that there's anything wrong with y'all. That's not the point. But the point being is I was in a completely different kind of ministry. And then to begin thinking of flip-flopping those things, to go full-time pastor and then maybe a little bit of teaching, and I do still a little bit, but not as much. But when I was in South Carolina, I was a full-time professor and then part-time pastor. There is no part-time pastor, you know that, but nevertheless. And so the fear of that was, what does that mean? And plus, we're moving from where our kids have been for 18 and a half years. There were a lot of things in that bucket that I was holding on to because I didn't want to let God take those because I knew what He was up to. I knew it resulted in us coming back to Alabama, but I was afraid of that. I was afraid of all of the different, and all of that comes back to me. Every part of that has proven to be nothing of what I was afraid of. God took care of that, and He proved that He was taking care of that. Listen, I think the invitation and the point here, Jesus invites you. He invites me, but it's on an individual basis. There's something burdening you. There's got to be. There's a heaviness, a weariness that we all carry. I've got them. You've got them. There's no shame in that. But what we've got to understand is that when Jesus is inviting us to give those over to Him, it now becomes a trust issue. You remember what I said about what He says, let me teach? He's trying to also, let me take these from you. Let me carry these burdens. And sometimes we resist that because of different reasons, as I've mentioned some that are mine. Number two is this. Not only does Jesus invite us, but the second one you'll see on the screen is where does Jesus invite us? Listen, I'm going to be very clear. He doesn't invite you to a church. He doesn't invite you to a camp or a retreat. He doesn't invite you to read a book or go through a program. What He invites you, and all those things are not bad, don't get me wrong. But what He rather invites you to directly is to Himself. Look what He says. Look at it with me. Come to me. I mean, if you can't get any more clear than that, He's inviting us to come to Him. And here's the problem. The enemy has gotten us so confused sometimes as church people and believers that we've lost sight of what that actually means. Some of those I just mentioned. It's not just coming to church. Your physical attendance here does not necessarily mean that you're coming to Jesus. Maybe you've walked the aisle and confessed something or rededicated your life. The physical act of that, yes, is good, but that in and of itself does not mean automatically that you've come to Jesus. You may have made some changes in your life because your wife or your husband wants you to make those changes. That doesn't necessarily represent that you've come to Jesus and given those burdens to Him. God is very clear here. And if you don't believe that, look back at verse 27. And I'm not including this in our scope of passages, but I do think it's worth reading. It's not going to be on the screen. But this is where Jesus declares with clarity who He is. Look what He says, verse 27. My Father has entrusted everything to me. No one truly knows the Son, capital S means Jesus, by the way, except the Father. And no one truly knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal Him. Amen and amen. What Jesus is saying very clearly is, I am the Son of God. I am God. And when I now move into verse 28 and tell you to come to me, that's with pristine clarity backed up with the sovereignty of God that He's mentioned in verse 27. And so there is no question that God is inviting us to Jesus because He is capable. He's God. There's not a single thing that we can bring to Him. And I'm not being facetious, but it sounds this way. There's not a single thing that you can bring and place before God, and He's like, whoa, wait, take that away. There's no way I can handle that one. You're never going to hear God say that. You're never going to hear God say, wait a minute, you got to get in the queue and take a number, and when I have time, I'll get to you. He's never going to say, listen, the pattern is full right now. And there's no room for that. You go ahead and take that back and come back later when I have room for that. That's never going to be something that God tells you. In fact, in everything that you bring to Him, no matter how big or small they are, God is ready to receive that if you're truly willing to trust Him with that. But here, I think, is part of the problem. And I've done this. I get all hyped up. I bring them to Him. I leave them for a few days. And guess what inevitably happens? I come back and get them again. And I start carrying them around. And I'm right back where I was before. Because I didn't truly give them to Him. I loaned them to Him. I gave Him to the responsibility for a few days, maybe a few hours. And then for whatever reason, I decide to bring them back. Man, if that's not a testimony for some of us, I don't know what would be a more accurate description. When God says to leave them, He invites us to Him to leave those things. Because Jesus is capable, God is capable of taking those things and now managing them far better than we could ever. All we do, I know me, is mess them up. I miss the marks. I miss the point, the perspectives. I don't see them the way God wants me to see them. And so those burdens, those things that are heavy, the weary things in my life, those things that I miss, I never kind of connect them outside of what God wants us to do. Let me pause here. I don't know what a lost person does. Man, I've been at this so long, I guess maybe I've forgotten what it was like, but I don't know how a lost person carries all of these buckets around. Who do you give those to? Who do you trust those things to? But yet, here we as believers have the privilege and the right to give those things over to God because He's told us to, but yet we still try to carry them around. We've been delivered of those things. And how quickly we forget that and start trying to carry on the things that God never intended us to carry. So Jesus is telling us He's inviting you. He's also inviting us to Himself. And then the third, and this is the rest part. Don't miss this. The third point you'll see on the screen, what Jesus promises. So this is kind of where the rubber meets the road for me. What does He mean by rest? Well, He's already kind of qualified for us that what He means in verse 29 is this idea of spiritual rest, rest for your souls. So I don't think this is the way to interpret this, okay? Once you, maybe you are, I'll just use an illustration, okay? And I'm going to be very honest with you, and don't take this the wrong way, but I just don't like cutting grass. I'm probably not alone, okay? And in the church, you guys have given the house that we live in, which you own, a great tool to do that in, right? And it's a zero-turn lawnmower, and man, it's perfect, and it's great, but I still don't like cutting grass. I just don't. I find I cut so much grass, I guess, as a kid. I just thought one day I would get to a point where I would have sons, and by the way, I don't, and I would give that burden to them like my dad did to me, and it's something that I just carry around, so I cut the grass. Okay, when God says to give me rest, or to give me rest, right, it's not that kind of stuff. It's not that I'm going to pray, God, miraculously cut this grass. Don't enable it to grow, because I'm claiming 11:28, Matthew 11:28, victory in that I don't have to labor physically, because you said to give rest, so I'm not going to do that. Another thing I hate doing is painting. I do. It's so monotonous. And I did that professionally for too many years. I love Roger because Roger can do painting and does really well. But I just don't like it. This is not that. This is not having a house that needs to be painted and then declaring Matthew 11:28 and saying, I don't have to do this because God told me to rest. That's not what he means. When he talks about rescuing us, he's rescuing us from the burdens of life, the burdens from the cutting of the grass, the burdens that are brought on when we're having to do things that we don't like to do. We still have to do those things perhaps, but now the perspective changes, right? Now we begin to see it the way God wants us to see it. It's not that the physical requirement of that is removed. It's now been replaced with the power of God to do that. And now we begin to see it a different way. And it changes the burden now into something that may be less of a burden. I mean, maybe that's still happening with me in grass cutting. I'm not quite there yet. But the truth of the matter is I have a different perspective. I'm trying to. And maybe in that, we now begin to understand that rest is really meant to be a rest where we learn to rest in his power. Lord, I don't know what I'm going to say to my boss tomorrow. I don't know how I'm going to have this conversation with my spouse. I don't know what to do about this life decision. Do you know what you're doing? You're carrying the bucket around. And when you're going to take rest in him, you're going to place that bucket in front of him and say, God, I don't know how all of this is going to work out. I don't even know how to say what I need to say, but I'm going to trust you to guide me through that. And then you leave that bucket in his hands and trust him in that. As many times as I've done that, I've never had God fail me. He may not do it the way I thought he was going to do it, nor the way I like for it to be done. And sometimes it's uncomfortable. But God always shows up and does it. It's not anything supernatural on my part. It's not anything that I've done to get ready for that. It's just simply I've learned to trust in him. And I love saying this, and some of you have heard me say this, and I know it's another cliche word, but it works for me. I've learned to just kind of roll with the punches in life. Take what's dealt, and then trust God to see you through that. Man, as one who has spent way too much energy trying to manipulate things and get things the way I like them, it's a whole different world for me when I learn just to roll with the punches. Because you can't control certain things. I can't control what other people do. I can't control what other people think. But I do know God is on his throne and is sovereign. And so while I can't control those things, I've got to stop trying to and just be who God wants me to be and roll with the punches and allow him to take care of those things. Because I can't do them anyways. But yet I spend way too much energy trying to carry around all of those weights and the burdens and the buckets that represent that. To find rest in him is to let go of those things and learn to trust him. It's now to have a different perspective. It's now to have a motivation that you didn't before. It's now to begin to change what you value over what you valued before. It's now about loving him through this situation and understanding what was a heavy, weary burden yesterday now becomes an opportunity that you see that God is doing through you. And it's going to use that. And now you begin to understand what we mean when we say, when you signed up for salvation, I don't mean you literally signed up. Please don't think that's what we mean when you sign the card when you come down. That's not what we mean by that. But when you agreed to accept Christ into your life, nowhere was it ever promised in Scripture that all of your burdens and weariness was going to disappear. None of that was promised. It never promised that life was going to get easier. What it did promise is that God is sovereign on His throne. There's not a thing you're going to face that He's not more powerful than. And now what we have is the privilege and the rights, because of God, to be able to give Him those things. And to truly be free of those things. I know we sometimes think about sin and being free from sin, but we're also being freed from all of the burdens and struggles in life. Learning to roll with the punches. Man, I see what's going on in our country right now. Here's a case in point. Maybe 20 years ago, I wouldn't have felt this way so easily. But with all of the craziness going on with ICE and all of the protests that are now lifting up, whether your opinion is the same as mine, it doesn't really matter. The economy, all of those things that are happening. Listen, God is sovereign and in control. I have enough trouble trying to be obedient to Him than worrying about the what ifs and whether or not, or if this happens or that happens. I just need to be who God wants me to be and love the people that God puts in my path. And learning to rest in Him rather than carrying the fear that the enemy wants to put because of all of the things. That happened back in COVID, you remember? I mean, it happens in the election cycle. It's just, there are all kinds of things in life that bring fear and anxiety. And what God is telling us is that we can come to Him and place those things in His hands. And truly, maybe, enjoy the rest, the lack of weariness and heavy burdens that God has always intended us to have. He has not meant for that to be. You know, I draw back when I was a kid and we would travel. Now as an adult and a father of two, I don't even remember what this was like. But I would trust my dad. He would say, hey, we're going to leave tomorrow at 6 a.m. He was military. He liked to leave early. And we're only going to make two stops on our way to vacation. And so you better go to the bathroom and you better have everything that you need in that car. And that he meant that, right? And so we would leave. I didn't worry about where we were going. I didn't think about the GPS. I didn't worry about traffic, gas, automobile problems or tire issues. I didn't. I just trusted him. I got in the seat like he told me to. I had my little, well, we didn't carry water bottles back then, but I had my little box drink. And then the things that I was going to do for the 6 hours that we drove, minus the two stops on the way. I didn't worry about any of those things. Why is that? Because I trusted him. I didn't say, now, there were times, and with my dad, you didn't do this very often, but hey, how much longer? He just wouldn't answer that, okay? And his silence spoke volumes. You better not ask that again. Or are we going to stop here or there? He's already dictated that out. That's been told to you. You're clear on when those stops are. The point is that same kind of trust, and I'm being facetious, but it's true. We got to get that way with God. Just getting in the back seat and letting Him drive us. Let Him take care of all of the intricacies of our trip that's involving our life. Learning to give Him those burdens. There was not one moment when I traveled with my family that I was worried that I wasn't going to get a meal. Or that I was worried we weren't going to make the destination. Or I was worried that something else was going to happen. I didn't. Yeah, I was a child and maybe I didn't understand. But that's exactly, listen to this, don't miss this, why Jesus tells us to be like little children. Learning to trust Him as our Heavenly Father. Learning to just absolute wholesale trust Him with the weariness and the heavy burdens. I pray you can do that. I struggle with it, to be honest with you. It's something every day that I struggle with because it's not just like I have a set number of heavy burdens and weariness. They change every day. And they're constantly moving. And new things come on. And I thought, well, when my kids become adults, it'll be easier. It just changes and gets worse. And just, they're always listening. It's a daily thing to lay those things before Him. Listen, I want to leave you with this statement, and then I'll pray. And this, I think, encapsulates it. Jesus invites tired, weary, heavy burden folks, just like you and I, to stop carrying what we were never meant to carry alone, and truly find rest in Him, in everything. Father, thank You this morning for this passage. I mean, I feel like sometimes we get into the scriptures often where it's always a conviction point of us having to do something or change something. I just think this one this morning is so refreshing because it's really just a reminder of what you want to do for us. And as those of us who are believers, we've already trusted you. We already have the combination, if you will, to take the lock off of all of these things in our lives and place them in your arms, but yet we still don't do that often. And so I pray for the believers this morning as I started that you would give them clarity to clearly see those things in their life that would mark the weariness and the heavy burdens. And that as they've come to terms with that and seen that in their life, they with clarity know what they've got to do. They've got to give that over to you. Now, I can explain how that happens in my life. I pray about it. I pray about it constantly. When those things arise, I physically just sort of make a moment to get away from wherever I'm at and get alone with you and almost kind of symbolically get on my knees and lay those before you. For me, it's not a one-and-done type thing. It's a constant process of saying, Lord, I've already given this to you. I'm not going to worry about this. I'm not going to pick this bucket back up. Now, it could be different for other people. But we've got to learn to be able to give those things over to you, Father. Now, for the lost person this morning, it's pretty obvious to me. The only invitation they need to hear this morning is that Jesus is the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father but by Him. And nobody can be relieved of the burdens that we've talked about that are weary and heavy burdens except for Jesus. And while there may be all kinds of worldly alternatives and different paths and avenues, none of those things really matter because they all fall short. Jesus is the only way. And while we didn't necessarily take this verse today as an evangelistic verse, it is. Because the lostness is the heavy burden. It's causing the weariness. And Jesus is the only source of salvation. So my prayer for that lost person this morning is that today, finally, they leave that bucket with you and trust you for what Jesus did on the cross by accepting Christ as their Lord and Savior. Now, God, I don't know what decisions need to be made, but the altar is open. There are public decisions to be made. We're ready to handle those. But this is our time, God, now to respond to you. I pray you bless us as we do that. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Would you stand now for our time of response?